You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast.
This DIY feature is proudly sponsored by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge with pleasure.
I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge with pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bulalo Drive, Sunnydale.
It's 10:30 and time for the DIY feature with Dave Eggleton from Extreme Clean Pools. Good morning, Dave, and welcome back.
Yes, thank you very much, and it's good to be back. And I hope I don't get tongue-tied today, and a bit tongue-twisted. But, so we're going to concentrate on two things today.
Yes.
One being winterizing your pool, and the other being automatic pool cleaners.
So let's get going.
Okay, so first of all, this time of the year, as you know, during the winter months down here in the Western Cape, we have our northwest winds, and we have the rains, and we have the cold weather. So we're going to get our pools ready for winter. First thing to do really is, the number one thing to do is remove your solar blanket. Because what can happen is on a solar blanket, a lot of people think, I've mentioned this before, that solar blankets are pool covers. They are not pool covers. They are blankets which stop evaporation and keep the water warm. So if you've got solar heating and you're not using the pool, I don't think a lot of people are, unless you're one of the brave ones at the moment. My recommendation would be to remove the solar blanket, take it off. It'll last longer, other than just laying on top of your pool, collecting all the leaves and goodness knows whatever else which flows around. They ferment, and then when you eventually do come to take the blanket off the pool, half the stuff goes into the pool anyway. So my recommendation would be to take the blanket off, let the water breathe. And this is the tricky part, okay? With the blanket off, there is going to be stuff going into the pool. So you have to, a pool, you know, as I've mentioned again in the past, you're sitting with approximately, let's call it, say, 40 to 50,000 liters of water in your garden, which has to be maintained. So with this time of the year, with so much stuff, with all the leaves dropping and what have you, a lot of it is going to go into the pool, and my recommendation is that you at least twice a week you have to clean the baskets. You have to take your net. You must get yourself a decent net. You can either get the leaf scoop or the leaf rake. I prefer the rake, which has a deeper net, which you can get the stuff from the bottom. You can get the stuff from the top, and you're not emptying it out. Within one little scoop, and then you've got to empty it. You can, the leaves and what have you will stay in the net for a good amount of time until it's full, and then you can empty it. So that is regarding getting rid of the stuff that's in your pool, helping your pool cleaner. I'm going to come back to pool cleaners in a minute, okay? I'm going to stick with being on solar. You can turn the solar, if you're not using the pool, turn the solar heating off. You must have a valve, which you would put, it's usually on the wall of your, going up to the solar panels, which you would put in a horizontal position, which looks like it's on, and it is on that way, but it diverts the water from the solar panels. So the water comes from the pump, goes through the filter, through the panels, it bypasses the panels and then goes back into the swimming pool. This time of the year, in actual fact, the solar heating is great, but it basically gives you a month either way of swimming. But it can make the water colder. So if you are running your pool through the solar panels, unless we have good days, it can actually make the water colder. So my recommendation is to occasionally, yes, flush out the solar panels. Close that valve off so all the water goes through the panels and it cleans the panels out and fresh water goes through, but keep and then put it back so that the water is actually bypassing the solar panels.
So, Dave, how often would you need to do this?
You know, if you did, if you ran the water, you know, through these panels once every 2 weeks or so, at least there's not water just stagnant in the panels. Okay, that water would go into the pool. You're putting fresh water into the panels. There's usually a non-return valve which holds the water in the panels. So that water would go into the pool, and then you put fresh water through the panels, and then you switch it off so that the panels don't get there may be a certain amount of water going through, but the majority of the water would bypass it and come straight back into the pool.
Which is what you want.
But that's exactly what you want. Unfortunately, this time of the year, it's not something you've got to bury your head in the sand. You know, you've got a pool in the garden, and if you haven't got one of these solid covers, and if you haven't even got a solar blanket and what have you, you've got to look, take the leaves and what have you out of the pool, because leaves, rainwater, they change a lot of the chemical balance in a pool, especially leaves that lay on top of solar blankets. They lay on top of the solar blanket for a couple of weeks, then you decide to sweep it off or take the blanket off, and the brown water from the leaves goes into the pool, and it changes that chemical balance completely. So this is why I say take the blanket off and use your net and your if you do have a manual vacuum, use the manual vacuum. You've got to be very careful as well, because what can happen this time of the year, what we find a lot of, is that with the automatic pool cleaners going around, they can pick up leaves, you know, they'll pick up in a, let's call it a four-hour cycle, and in 2 days, you've got, you know, if you're running your pool for 4 hours, then in 2 days, that's 8 hours, those baskets, the weir basket can actually get so full that it splits, okay, and you won't know this, okay? So there'll be less flow of water going through the filter. The basket can split. Then what will happen is it'll pull the stuff through the basket, and then you'll get a blockage underground. And then as soon as you get a blockage underground, and then you can end up, it's going to end up costing you more money trying to remove this blockage. Some of these blockages, yes, we can. We've got pumps. We can remove them and what have you. But some of them get so tight that we have to dig up. We try and work it out where the blockage is, and we have to dig it up and cut the pipe and remove the blockage manually.
And then it becomes, as she said, very costly.
Then it becomes costly.
Yes.
And this is because the baskets haven't been checked. Please, the baskets in the weir, they're only plastic baskets. They do become brittle over, you know, the seasons and what have you. They become brittle, and they split very – well, they burst very easy. As soon as you get a buildup of debris in the baskets, they burst. And what happens is then the stuff – the pump, you've got a very strong pump. The pump will pull the stuff through the basket, and you'll get this blockage on the inline. Okay, getting onto automatic pool cleaners. I'm probably one of the old school people.
Is this known as a creepy crawly?
Creepy crawly was the original.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not going to go into the whole history of it, but creepy crawly was the original.
Probably, so we've moved on. We've advanced.
We've advanced drastically from the creepy crawly. Okay. I still wish this, the original creepy crawly. I'm not talking about the newer ones.
Yes.
Now. The original creepies were fantastic. They made one hell of a noise, but they were very good. Creepy crawly, okay, have brought out, well, not only creepy crawly, there's, I'm not going to mention all the names, but there's a number of these robotic cleaners, okay? Now, with all this stuff blowing into the pool, we're getting sand, we're getting leaves, we're getting all sorts of stuff being blown into the pool. There's a lot of pools now are using these robotic cleaners which have tracks. They work on tracks, and they go and they turn automatically so they don't get stuck in corners. They are very popular.
And are they controlled with a remote?
No. These are still suction ones.
Oh, suction
the
ones. Okay.
The remote ones are – there's a few of those around. Yes,
okay.
We put quite a few in, but they are costly.
Yes.
They are very costly, but the cheaper option is one of these suction ones.
Yes.
Robotic suction ones, which has a – They either have one gearbox or they have two gearboxes, and they have what is called an engine. Okay. Now, you must got to remember that all the components of these automatic pool cleaners are made of plastic. So what happens is your pool cleaner is running around that pool 4 hours a day, 8 hours in 2 days, and it's picking up all this sand, it's picking up all these leaves and what have you. And, you know, although you've just bought this cleaner within a year, the gearbox can pack up, okay? Now, to replace a gearbox on one of these things, it's not cheap. So my recommendation would be to unplug this pool cleaner this time of the year. I know people are going to shout me down, but I would recommend that you unplug the pool cleaner this time of the year and you actually manually clean the pool. Yes, clean that. You can plug it in every second or third day or what have you if you have taken the majority of stuff out of the pool. The pool cleaners, they won't clean up everything. They won't clean up everything that's in the pool. Pool cleaner is designed for about 75% of the pool. The rest of the pool you're going to have to clean or brush or clean manually.
So do you use that with a long handle and it's got a brush at the end?
You can either use your net, which I talked about in the beginning.
Does that have a long handle as well as a short one?
The popular one at the moment is the telescopic handle.
Okay.
Where it goes from, you know, from 2 meters up to about 3.5-4 meters. So, you know, you can work in the shallow end and you can work in the deep end. And if you had one of these so-called leaf rakes, you can get the majority of stuff, the bigger stuff, out with that. But I'm a great believer in the so-called eight-wheel sweeper, okay, which you just attach to your pole, your long handle as well, okay, and you manually vacuum the pool, okay, so that all that dirt that's at the bottom of the pool, you will actually, you know, to manually vacuum a pool, a normal size pool of about 8x4, to manually vacuum a pool, you're probably looking at about between 10 and 15 minutes.
Okay. So when you are sucking it and you put it down and it's obviously got the pipe, so that sort of sucks up into the pipe. And then where does it go?
Okay. When it sucks up from the bottom of the pool, it goes through the pipe and it goes into the weir basket.
Okay.
Generally speaking, when you manually vacuum a pool, you have to clean that weir basket probably 2 or 3 times because you're picking up everything that's on the bottom, okay, and you don't want that basket to split. And this is why I've said with these automatic pool cleaners, people put them in the pool and they leave
them.
they leave them there and they don't check the baskets, and this is when the baskets split and what have you. You've got to remember that an automatic pool cleaner – but whatever cleaner it is, whether it's one of the robotic ones, whether it's ones that works on a diaphragm, whatever, an automatic pool cleaner is it's for everyday dust, dust and what have you that blows in the pool. It's not for an overload of dirt. Okay, you have to help this cleaner if you're going to use that cleaner. This is why I prefer manually cleaning the pool and using the cleaner when the pool is not as bad, okay, when it's not filthy dirty. You rather manually clean it and then put your automatic pool cleaner in, and you'll prolong the life of the cleaner as well. You'll prolong the life of the gearbox and the engine and what have you of these things, which can, you know, these things can be destroyed from certain chemicals. All these plastic components that are in these things can be destroyed through certain chemicals which go into the pool. If you don't keep an eye on the pH with the rain, pH changes a lot in the rain.
So with this rain that we've had now, we should then test the water. Is that
most
right?
Most definitely. And then, carry on.
Then you've got the equipped the little.
Yes.
Little gadgets that you test with, the test kit.
The test kit. Okay, at the moment, one of the more popular ones, okay, you can get the ones with the drops, these test kits with the drops where you, you know, you put the drops in and you do a little color chart. The most popular one at the moment is you can get, there's a number of them available.
Yes.
But it's the litmus paper where you put it down an arm's length. And you bring it up and you adjust the to your color chart that's actually on the bottle. and you will see if your total alkalinity is low or high. You'll see if your pH is low or high, and your chlorine. What we find that on fiberglass pools, there's a lot of fiberglass pools. What we find on fiberglass pools now, if you've got a salt chlorinator, which has also become very popular, is to turn that salt chlorinator down. Don't keep it on the high position, because you don't the water is so cold that you don't algae can't really breed
on very cold water.
Mm. So you'll keep your chlorine level low, okay? So your chlorine level will probably be sitting at about one part per million, and your pH should be sitting at about 6.8 parts per million on a fiberglass pool. That's what it should be. So it should, on a pH, on an acid level, if you had a look at the color chart, it shouldn't be on a fiberglass pool. It should be more on the yellow side, more on the red side, and on the chlorine color, it should be, if you're using drops, it should be slightly yellow and not dark orange. Right. If it's dark orange, then you have you'll have available chlorine. What you're getting from these chlorine tests and what have you, if you don't do it correctly, whatever chlorine is in the water, you get available chlorine, you'll get free chlorine, and you'll get dead chlorine. And you will pick up, as soon as you do a chlorine test, if you don't do it properly, you'll pick up this reading, which will indicate that you've got one hell of a strong chlorine reading. And meantime, there's all these different chlorines that are in the pool that shouldn't be in the pool.
Yeah.
And they will be the chlorines that aren't used will be dissipated through sunlight, okay, through this, well, when we do have the sunny days like today.
Yes.
They'll be dissipated through sunlight, and you'll be left with the chlorine that that is usable in the pool, that will be effective. The other chlorine that you don't need, that will be taken out of the pool. Just another one thing as well is that if you go to your pool and you think, bloody hell, sorry for the language, if you think, my pool is smelling of chlorine, so you go and add another 2 kg of chlorine in the pool. Generally speaking, if you walk up to your pool and you've uncovered it or whatever, and you can smell chlorine, it's an indication that the pool actually needs chlorine. Okay.
So if you can smell it,
if you can smell chlorine when you come up to the pool, it actually needs chlorine.
Oh.
Okay. It's not that there's too much chlorine. It's meaning it's a buildup of all these other chlorines, and you may be low on the active chlorine that's in the water.
Wow.
So you've just got to be very careful. Overdosing on chlorine can make a fiberglass pool, or can make a fiberglass, or it can make a marbleite pool. It can turn it brown. And there are products on the market now that that can clear any brown staining. You've just got to be careful what you throw into the pool. There's a lot of products. I'm not mentioning supermarkets, but you can walk into a supermarket and there's a range of chemicals in front of you.
Yes.
And you have no idea, if you want to get rid of staining and what have you, and you have no idea because there's such a range of products to use, you've just got to make sure you use the right product for the purpose that you're trying to work with.
Why is H2H very important for your pool?
HTH kills bacteria. Okay, HTH is chlorine. It's sodium hypochlorite. Sodium hypochlorite is salt. HTH is chloride. It will kill bacteria. And rain carries bacteria. So having a backup in the Transvaal and what have you, where you have these thunderstorms, people used to say, we had one hell of a downpour and my pool turned green from sparkling blue to green, like within a couple of hours. Yeah. Okay. It's not because of the rain. Yes, rain carries algae, but it's because of a chemical imbalance. If your balance is right in your pool, the rain shouldn't really affect your pool. Okay. It may turn it slightly cloudy. And this time of the year, it's always good to give the filter an open backwash, which it's very easy to do. It'll take about 20 minutes to explain on how to do it, but you don't necessarily need a sand change or you can either have sand or glass. With an open backwash, you can actually clean that filter out. And most of these filter production companies, they recommend that you do an open backwash once a season. Because what can happen inside a filter is that you can get calcium lumps forming inside a filter. And although you've got a big gray dome in your garden and it's full of sand or it's full of glass media, it can actually form channels. And so the water will actually just go through the channels. And then when you come to backwash, the water will just go in reverse and it'll just reverse through the channels. It won't break up the actual lumps, the calcium lumps in the filter.
And of course, you can't see this.
No, you can't see this. The filter's got to be opened up. And there's a special way of actually doing an open backwash. You've got to make sure you don't flood the pool pump out. You've got to make sure you don't get the sand or glass in the little brass inserts where the screws go in. It's probably best if you're not a hands-on person.
To call somebody in.
Yeah, you can call us in. There's a number of pool companies. But we on all our maintenance pools, as much as we can, we do an open backwash once or twice a season. Because what will happen is you'll get these calcium lumps and the filtration is reduced down to about 50 to 75% capacity of the actual filter itself. So you're only filtering a certain amount of water and hence the water becomes cloudy. You want that whole filter to act as a filter,
yes.
Not just two-thirds of it. You want the whole filter to act as a filter. When you do a backwash, most importantly is unplug the pool cleaner. If your pool cleaner is still plugged in, unplug the pool cleaner, take the vacuum lid out. Because at the bottom of the weir, you've got a 50mm opening. And at the top of the vacuum lid, there's a 38mm opening. So when you do a backwash, you want a proper free flow of water through that filter. And you don't want any pool cleaner plugged in. You don't want the vacuum lid in. All you want is the basket there, and you'll do a proper backwash. And just bear in mind as well, some people, I know it's difficult, but some people don't want the backwash water to go onto their garden and what have you. But the shorter the backwash pipe, the better the backwash. If you need your backwash pipe extended, then the backwash pipe has to go bigger. It comes out of the filter as a 40mm pipe. And generally speaking, a 2-meter backwash pipe is an ideal length for backwash. Further than 2 meters, then you should really have a bigger pipe, so it acts like a drain. So it creates no back pressure on the filter,
yes.
So that it's just a free flow, and you will get a better backwash through the filter. So getting back to pool cleaners and what have you, I would say, you know, for 2 or 3 days a week, to save the life of the pool cleaner, don't rely on the pool cleaner to clean the pool what's been blown into the pool. Rather unplug it
and do it manually.
You know, I know it's not a great job. Well, it can be if the sun's out and what have you, but it's a job which has to be done. You know, the pools these days are built right on top of the houses. You're looking straight out from your bedroom and your lounge window straight onto the pool. So and it's always good to look out onto a clean pool rather than a dirty pool.
Yeah.
But if you went and spent 10 minutes a day or 10 minutes every second day and what have you, taking out the leaves. And then maybe giving it a manual clean. And then you can plug your pool cleaner in. If the pool is not too dirty, then plug your pool cleaner in. But don't rely on your pool cleaner to clean up the majority of the dirt in a pool.
So, Dave, I know this is a question you're going to say, well, now, why are you asking? I don't think it happens at schools anymore.
Yep.
Home economics.
Right.
And they start. This is how you sweep with the broom.
Yep.
This is how you vacuum. Easy. And this is how you mop. Now, I know many, I think, why were you taught that? Because many, you know, when you sweep, you go forward, back, instead of leaving the dirt in front of the broom and sweep. The same as mopping and vacuuming.
Yeah.
So is this the same? Do you use the same kind of technique to manually sweep the pool?
Okay, so it really depends on how dirty the pool is, okay? It's, you know, generally speaking, if we vacuum a pool, we use what is called the eight-wheel sweeper. It's 250-odd rand for one of these things, which attaches to your pole. It gives you a wide area of vacuuming, and you can go, you know, one stroke up will clean up a whole area, and then one stroke back on, you know, a little bit further away. And it, as I said, it shouldn't take you longer than about 10, 15 minutes to vacuum a pool with an eight-wheel sweeper. And we use it a lot. We use our eight-wheel sweeper a lot because we cannot – on our maintenance pools, because we cannot rely just on the pool cleaner to clean up the pool. Yeah.
And then, Dave, a pump, now, especially in winter, how often should you put your pump on and for how long?
Okay, all right. This is a – okay. Yeah, I'm not a great person to say, you know, to save electricity, to cut the pool pump down to an hour a day and what have you. Your generally speaking, your pool water should go through your filter at least twice a day. Okay.
Is this still in winter? In winter as well?
In winter as well, okay. It should go through your pool. It should go through your pool filter twice a day. But I know times are tough. They're tough for everybody, and everybody wants to save on electricity. So I would say that depending on the size of the pool, the minimum hours you should be running a pool at the moment is nothing less than between 2 to 3 hours. That is the minimum time. We have a lot of people that say, I want to switch my pool off and cover it for the winter and leave it off. And then come springtime.
You've got problems.
Yeah. You open the pool up and it's going to cost them more to get the pool right than it is if they just maintained it.
So
just,
this should actually go on daily for 2 to 3 hours.
Your pool pump should run daily for anything between minimum two to three hours daily.
Okay.
So at least you know the water's being filtered.
Okay.
And also you must remember as well that with rain, you don't, if there's too much water in a pool and you want to get rid of
then
water.
Then you've got to backwash, don't you?
No, okay. On the multi-port valve, you have a waste position. Rather get, you can most definitely do a backwash, do a decent backwash. Sometimes I do a double backwash. I backwash, I rinse, then I backwash and rinse again.
Yes.
If there's still too much water, you go onto the waste position and you get rid of the water on the waste position.
Okay.
Don't do it on the backwash. Okay. Rather, it bypasses the filter and,
This is on the valve?
This is on your multiport valve. At the 1 o'clock position, you'll see a waste position. You put the handle onto that. Remembering each time you turn the handle on that multi-port valve, you turn the pump off, then you put it onto the position you want, and then you turn the pump back on.
Back on.
Yep.
Now I want to get back to the blankets covers.
Yep.
Now in summer, and now as you've said, please take it off for winter.
Yep.
Why is it important to have it and the blanket in summer?
Okay. The blanket in summer serves two purposes. Okay. One, it stops evaporation. Okay. And two, it keeps the water warmer when your solar heating's on. So, yes, a blanket in the summer is great, but as long as the blanket, I profess to all of our customers, if you have a solar blanket, the blanket must come off for at least once or twice a week. The blanket has got to come off. Even if you don't take the whole blanket off, take half the blanket off so that the water can get oxygen. Water needs oxygen. Water is a living body. It needs oxygen. It's like these covers are like putting a plastic bag on your head and walking around with a plastic bag on your head all day.
Yes, and then you struggle to breathe.
Exactly. And this is exactly the same as water. Water needs oxygen. So, and this is
important. It's very important.
It's very important to take that blanket off, get chemicals out of the pool that don't need to be in the pool, and let sunlight get to the water. And let water get oxygenated. When we brush a pool, we make sure that when we brush the sides and what have you, we actually oxygenate the water. I must admit, one quick thing. When I was in, I was in America for a while, and I was watching pool service companies. They used to come around with oxygen tanks.
Really?
Yeah, they used to come around with actual O2 oxygen tanks, which are attached to these floating, or like a hula hoop,
yes,
which would sink to the bottom. That would open up the oxygen
and
tank.
And then release.
And release. And right, they would release a whole lot of oxygen into the water.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's very interesting.
If I could find out how to do it, how to get these parts, I would do it now. Because really, the pool where I stayed at a yeah, private house, it was fantastic.
All right. So time has run out for us. Very, 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 very good topic. Thank you, Dave,
for all
that info. I'm sure all of us have learnt a lot. Yep. The do's and the don'ts of your swimming pool, especially during winter.
Yeah.
So, Dave, would you like to give out your contact details, please?
Okay. Right. My phone number, which I don't always answer because, as
you
I
are
said,
busy.
I'm busy and I don't take my phone to a swimming pool. I've lost too many phones in a pool.
You haven't got a waterproof one yet,
Dave. Yeah, I've tried them all, you know, but so none of them seem to work. Okay. I prefer a WhatsApp, and I will always get, when I get back into my van, I will answer a WhatsApp.
Yes.
But my phone number is 0799-732-995. And Leanne, my wife, who is a water fundi, she did a chemical study on water. Her telephone number, and she is on, has her phone on all the time, is 071-287-1406. And that's Leanne.
So it's either one of us.
You can get hold of us. And, we can help you out.
Thank you, Dave, for coming in and sharing your knowledge with us.
Thank you very much for having me. And I look forward to the next time.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Bye.
Cheers.
That DIY feature was brought to you by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bulalo Drive, Sunnydale.